Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
First, if you don't know anything about the Bible, the first words of the Bible talk about the Spirit of God. So let's look at it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Let's read this together. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then maybe the theme verse for the assemblies of God is this in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, let's read it, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. And if you were with us last week, we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a force. It's not a, like, remember, like the Star Wars, I think I have a picture up there, the force be with you. You've seen that. That's not where, you have it up there? It's not even up there. There it is. May the force be with you, right there. What is that? That's Spock. It's wrong, right? Who is that? I got it backwards. That's Star Trek. But why do they have that guy up there? Oh, it's like a funny thing, right? All right, we messed that up. Is it backwards? It's the wrong thing. What? I have no idea what's going on. Take that off, because I knew something was wrong. Take that down. Someone has to tell me later. So, we're a Spirit-filled church, so something just happened. I need the interpretation. I have no idea what happened. Let me just say this about the Holy Spirit. Number one, this is not all that we talk about here at Marlton Assembly of God. We're in a sermon series. We're leading up to the Holy Spirit conference. But the Holy Spirit is a real person. It's the third person of the Trinity that the Bible talks about. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people for a set task or a purpose, but did not indwell or come inside of people. So we actually live in the New Testament time where the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And so let me just kind of help you. Someone wrote one of these questions that came through the church. Here's one of the questions. The Holy Spirit is real and in the Bible. So how come not every denomination is as Spirit-filled as the Assemblies of God? It's a great question. I don't know. It's very, very important. The Assemblies of God is the only growing denomination in America. I mean, that might tell you something. It's the Spirit of God that moves people towards energy and fire. John Wesley was concerned about this with the Methodist Church. Let me just show you this quote. My fear is not that our great movement, known as the Methodist, will eventually cease to exist or one day die from the earth. My fear is that our people will become content to live without the fire, the power, the excitement, and the supernatural element that makes us great. If you read the Methodist doctrine, it's great doctrine. But the Methodist church is dying. Most churches in America are dying. You say, why? It's because it's not the vibrancy of the Holy Spirit that makes a denomination or a people great. So you say, well, how does God move in our lives? Last week I talked to you about five encounters of the Holy Spirit. Let me just show you these really quickly. Number one, and you can read these, and some people are taking pictures of the screen, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit first does is leads us to repentance and tells us there's something wrong, that we're sinners. And we've all probably felt that. Secondly, the salvation comes by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us now as believers, and it's the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Fourth, the Holy Spirit helps us to grow as followers of Jesus Christ, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. But most people jump to right to number five, say, oh, you're talking about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues like we're some weird people. No, we're not. The Holy Spirit was before you, before salvation, at salvation, growing in our lives as believers. And then finally, and we'll talk about this next week, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so we could be a witness to reach others for Jesus Christ. So it's the working of the Holy Spirit. But today I want to talk to you specifically about are the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. All right? And the Bible talks about these gifts. So let's kind of walk through, I'll kind of give you an overview of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number one, this is how we could. God gives us three main lists in the Bible for the gifts of the Spirit. You say, well, where are you getting this information? And by the way, everything I'm teaching you and showing you is in the Bible, all right? It's in the Bible. There's three main lists for the gifts. One's found in the book of Romans. The next is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 7 through 8, 20 through 31, and 13, 1 through 3. And then also there's another list in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 through 12. Today, we're going to focus in on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 11 as our text to help us out. Let's read that first together. I'll read it. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is for the common good. No, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of the healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. Now I need to say to you something that you probably know. Some people in the charismatic Pentecostal world are flat out weird and crazy. Totally nuts. And to be honest with you, it's not biblical. And some people totally misuse the gifts. There's a great preacher by the name of Dr. Mark Rutland who will demonstrate how you can abuse these wonderful gifts that God gives his church. I'll let you watch this 1 minute video.
I was the president of a Christian university before I came here to Free Chapel. A young student, a male student, came to me after one of the chapel services. And he said, Dr. Rutland, something happened Wednesday night that has disturbed me. It's really worrying me, and I need some advice. I said, all right, what is it? He said, I went to a neighborhood cell group, a home cell group, a life group from a church. He said, I'm not a member of that church, and I've never been there. I got invited to this cell group, and I just went. And he said, after the cell group meeting there, a middle-aged lady came to me, and she said that she had a word of prophecy for me that the Lord had revealed to her I was supposed to marry her daughter. And he said, what do you think I should do? I said, flee the wrath to come. And he said, so you don't think it was real? I said, no, I didn't say that. I said, I know it's not real. I said, it's not real. I said, that is manipulative, controlling, and self-serving. That's the opposite of the reason that God gives the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Do you understand that? There are gifts that God gives of the Holy Spirit, but some people misuse those gifts. So in the Army, the American Army, think about what we've been around for 200 years. I'm sure there's some young kid out of high school who went right into the Army, and you get a weapon, right? Probably an M16 is probably the lowest type of weapon. What? M4, sorry. An M4, right, Andrew? But all, you're in the Navy, though, Andrew, right? Army, Air Force, they all have a weapon. There's got to, okay, everybody else, we have a special Memorial Day service coming up for you guys. But I don't know this, but probably some young 18-year-old kid came out of high school and went into the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, playing with his weapon, cleaning his weapon, accidentally blew off his foot or his toe. Probably. Right? Could you imagine if the President of the United States says, you know, that's enough. These weapons. We're going to get rid of the tanks, the machine guns, the nuclear war, because if one person abuses it or gets hurt, we get rid of all the gifts. You think that's crazy. Just because some people abuse the gifts and hurt themselves and other people does not mean we should get rid of God's great arsenal of gifts for his church. I'm here to tell you up front, there are people who are weird, people who they'll use the gifts, they'll abuse the gifts, but at that point, then it's no longer a gift. If I have a gift, Pastor Andy, right? If I give you a gift, I give it to you gently, kindly. I've taken time to wrap it because I love you, and I want to give you a gift. Andrew's like, yeah, stop. He's on staff, right. Anyway, but could you imagine I take the same gift and I throw it at him? And it hits his face, catches his eye. His eye blows up. He's got blood all coming down. It no longer ceases to be a gift. Even if I have a gift, if I don't use the gift properly, I've injured my brother. So let me explain this. The gifts that God we're going to talk about must work together with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Listen, if you have a great gift, you could sing. Let's just say you could sing. And you walk around, I'm the best singer in the world. Keep walking. Who cares about you? It's not about you. It's about using those gifts properly. So gifts must be done with love, with grace, and be given gently and humbly and surrendered to God so that it could be a great benefit. So the gifts are a great benefit for his church. And there are three lists in the Bible. But let's just quickly look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12's list. And there's actually, like, I'll kind of lump them together. Some theologians kind of lump them together. No, go ahead. Keep it there. Back. Work with me. All right. I would call them the intuitional gifts, the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, and the message or the gift of discernment. We can kind of put those together. Then the inspirational gifts. And we just experienced that right there. The tongues. And whenever there's a tongue, there has to be an interpretation. Or prophecy. And actually, probably what I'm doing right now is a form of prophecy, preaching. And then we call the third, and these are the nine gifts that most people identify with. These are faith. And by the way, my dad operates in this one. My dad's a church planter with the Assemblies of God. He goes into the most difficult inner cities on the East Coast, like in Newark, New Jersey, 962 South Orange Avenue. Starts a church, nobody's in there. He builds up the congregation, and he breathes faith. He'll stand up there, the church just starting. I believe that the next president of the United States is going to come out of this church. I'm like looking around. There's 10 people in here. But with faith from God as a great gift to inspire hope and love to a community that so desperately needs it. Miracles and healings and powerful gifts of the Spirit. You say, are those still available? The answer is absolutely yes. And by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. They're just to kind of help us to oil and keep it moving. And by the way, there are gifts all throughout this building that are already happening today. You thought, oh, just tongues and interpretation. No. Someone held the door. It's a gift of hospitality or a gift of helps. Someone already administrated this, that program that's in your hands. Somebody took time to administrate and to plan everything out. There's gifts being used in the kids' ministry or maybe people helping park. And there's gifts all over. And so these are not exhaustive. They're just to help us to understand where we are to go. But who has 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1? Who has it? You have your Bible open. I want you to stand and read that real loud. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Who has it? Who has their Bible open? Okay. Stand, Linda. Can you read it? Real loud. Verse 1. Right. Says this, listen, about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. When you used to be in the world and have all the pagan gods, you used to go everything, you followed the ways. I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are a big deal to God. And God wants to use everybody in this room with spiritual gifts. Listen, some of you maybe have come from a bad church or maybe some bad teaching or a cult, or you got caught up with following a preacher, he disappoints you, whatever. I don't know. All I know is this, that God has spiritual gifts. And if you'll open yourself up and say, God, I want all that you have for me. And even if you have to let some things go of the past, God wants to use you. God wants the gifts to be alive and real in his church today. Speaking of tongues and interpretation, 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday night, Pastor Liz ministered. And it was the week after spring break. And for whatever reason, the people were sluggish. They came in a little tired. Have you ever come into a church service a little sluggish? You're tired, like right now, the congregation, right now. We are feeling really good with the worship, but now, whew. You know what the best thing for that is? Is the working of the Holy Spirit. So Pastor Liz, Pastor was about to preach, and there was a tongue and an interpretation. And we just kind of talked for a minute right before she came to minister God's word. She goes, that's the exact same message that I'm about to preach right now. The gifts of the Spirit are alive, and they are good, and they are from God. Here's just a way to kind of work through it. On Wednesday night, I'm going to go through each one of them. If you want to learn more about each one of them, but I just need to tell you first that it's in the Bible, and God does give gifts, and there's lists that he lives. Number two, God gives his gifts for the common good. Go back to with me to verse 7, for the common good. Look at this. A little slow. There we go. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Gifts are to be given for the congregation. Now let me explain. This is very hard for Americans to understand because most people come to church and it's about them. Let me explain to you the order that it should go in and from the Bible. The most important person that came in the room today was Jesus Christ. He's the most important person. Secondly, the most important people are not you. It's the common good of the people. Does that make sense? And then you. It's so easy to do, to come in and just, I'm not sure I like that song. Who's the new person singing? Pastor John, another shirt from L.L. Bean. Your mind is just going on to all these different things. The goal should always be to glorify and to honor God. It's not about you. Now, here's the problem. Most churches don't talk about the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit reveals who God is and who his Son is. So if you take the Holy Spirit away, all you're left with is God the Father and God the Son, and that's very important. But some of you have a love-hate relationship with God and Jesus. Some of you came from the Catholic Church, and you are inundated with guilt all the time. It lives with you. Guilt works when you're a kid, but when you get older, it stinks. And so what happens is, you know there's a good God in heaven, he's holy, and you know you're bad, you're a sinner. So you're constantly having this tension between you and God. God's holy, and I'm messed up, and you feel terrible about yourself all the time. You're only here because you know you need to be here. I'm a sinner, I know I need Jesus. And you're just kind of going back and forth with the holy God, and you messed up, and you don't feel good about yourself. You know what the problem is? The Holy Spirit comes into the middle of that conversation, and he breathes good into it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And when the gifts are moving, it's a gentle reminder of how much God loves you. This has nothing to do with you. God first is love. He gives his love. He sent his Son Jesus to die on the cross, to take away our sins, to show his love. He died, his sacrifice, his resurrection, all this. If not, it's just all about you all the time. And God takes his Holy Spirit and uses the gifts of the church to remind us that there's a good God in heaven who wants to have a relationship with us, plans and purposes, and the good of God is flooding our hearts. So when you walk out of here, it's not all about you, but isn't there a good God who can help me? And there's a good God who's faithful, and he's wonderful, and he can help you, and he loves you. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit moving, there's not the sense that the church is going good and God's goodness is alive and real, and you could be stuck. The Holy Spirit gifts are not just for you. They are to bless one another. I had an experience a couple weeks ago. I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me for no particular reason. It was a family that had already left the church a couple years ago. I wasn't particularly close to them. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to pray for them. So I'm like, okay. So I just started praying for them. I had no idea. I didn't know why. There's nothing on faith. Nothing. I didn't know. I felt like the Lord said, I want you to pray for them. And then on Sunday, 5 days later, Grandma, who doesn't even come to our church, makes a beeline right for me. And I've learned, when Grandma comes right for you, you run. She came right up to me, and she never whispered in my ear, would you pray for my family, my grandson? He's not doing well. The same person I've been praying for a whole week. When the gifts are moving, the pastor's praying, the goodness of God is flooding not just to you, but to other people. That whole family that I don't even really know that well was being blessed through a prayer. I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit moves, it just doesn't move for you, but it moves for the blessing of the goodness of God to help us to move along. There's a pastor who's passed away, name is Tommy Tyson, and down in the south in Georgia. And he said he was driving along one day, and all of a sudden his hands were on the wheel, and he had a strong pain between his hand and his elbow. Extreme pain. And he actually thought he was maybe having a heart attack, but you don't usually have pain there when you have a heart attack. So he pulled off to the side of the road, and he felt like God said, I want you to call Bob. Bob, like... So he pulled off to the side of the road, and he called Bob. Picked up the phone, said, I'm here, I want to talk to Bob. Bob's wife picked up the phone. Says, I'm so glad you called. Bob just fell off a ladder, and he broke his right arm. Say, how does it work? How does God move? How does he speak to us? He speaks to us by his Holy Spirit. You say, how does God sound? Like when he speaks to you, forget all this religious stuff. How does it sound? Let me explain how it sounds. Ready? Call Bob. The Holy Spirit sounds like your own voice, sounds exactly like how you feel like it would be for you. See, some people think when the Holy Spirit moves, you're driving down the road and all of a sudden angels are coming and lifting your car above everyone. Above the easy pass. And then Gabriel comes in. And then Carrie Underwood starts singing, Jesus, take the wheel. I mean, you have this whole thing going on. You know how God's voice sounds? It sounds like this. Call Bob. You know how the voice sounds, at least to me? I want you to pray for this family in the church. So, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Just trust me. I just do what I tell you to do. Just trust me. That pastor right there, Mark Rutland, I sat under him, took 12 hours of master's work, and he had a story, if you watch that video longer, told a story about how he's in church. It would almost be like on this side of the aisle. He was sitting in church, and across the aisle, there was two people that were sitting right next to each other, but they were kind of like not touching each other. And he felt like God said to him, he saw a picture of Jesus bending down and kissing the woman's cheek. It was a husband and wife. And he felt like in church, he says, I want you at the end of church to tell that lady what you saw. Jesus kissing your cheek. He's like, no way. I am not going to tell another man's wife that Jesus was kissing him on the cheek. And so he rejected it. He stepped away and he went to the gas station. And would you believe it? In walks that couple. Says, okay, Lord. Have you ever not listened to God? And then it kind of comes back around. Let me just give you a clue towards serving God. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. If not, someone's coming to the gas station right behind you. Dr. Rutland said, okay, Lord, you want me to say this. And he goes, and this is how gifts should be given. Ma'am, I'm so sorry. Sir, I don't feel comfortable saying it, but I was in church and I saw you both sitting there. Obviously, you're grieved with something. But can I just tell you what I think? You should always... not demand it, just lay it there, make it a gift. Say, can I just tell you what I think I saw? And they said, sure. They said, I thought I saw Jesus leaning over you and kissing you, ma'am, on the cheek. And they both started to weep. They grabbed each other. It was 2 months prior that the lady was backing out of her driveway and ran over her 2-year-old child and killed the baby. She was so devastated, felt so disconnected from God, saying that Jesus would never love her or care for her anymore. And she actually had this theme going of depression, discouragement, saying, Jesus is never going to kiss me on the cheek again. So when Mark Rutland sat in a chair and saw Jesus Christ himself kissing a woman on the cheek and someone being open to being used by God and someone receiving that, do you understand that that not just was a blessing for Mark Rutland, that was a blessing of encouragement to a young family who are grieving a mistake that would be with them the rest of their life? I want to tell you, when the gifts of the Holy Spirit move, it's just not something you say, oh, look at me, I have these gifts, or I speak in tongues, or God uses me in healings, and that may be true, but the gifts are always to be used for the common good. This is always to glorify and to honor God, and when God's Spirit is moving, The goodness of God is moving, and people are walking away saying, oh, isn't God good? And it's not just the preacher, but it's one another. The goodness of God is here because the gifts of the Holy Spirit are moving in our hearts and our lives. The Holy Spirit speaks. You remember last Wednesday night, Pastor Prakash, the Indian pastor? Remember he preached? I mean, he was intense. Go back up to those three lists. Let me just give you an example. Go back up to those three lists. The gift of prophecy. Today, we don't have prophecy like Elijah was a prophet, like everything. But sometimes, have you ever been in a church, like the preacher's preaching, and everything's good. Everything's good. It's a good sermon. But all of a sudden, something grabs your attention. Just grabs you. Or even the whole church, like, that's God. That's what we need to focus on. Pastor Prakash was preaching. And what a great, he was great. But there's something that grabbed my attention. He said, we need to pray earnestly. Do you remember that word came out? Earnestly. And I was like, it challenged me. I felt like the Lord spoke to me. John, when you pray, I want you to learn how to pray earnestly, like with passion. And I thought, I just kept that to myself. But then in the hallways, everybody was talking about, I need to pray earnestly. I've been hearing all, like tens of people, like, I mean, people all around the congregation saying, the Lord spoke to me. We need to learn to pray passionately and earnestly and single-focusedly. That's what the Lord is speaking to my heart. You say, how does God work? Sometimes he just razor focuses you through what I would call prophecy. Everything's good, but something jumps out of you. Did you see how I was trying to lead the service? Pastor Andrew just looked over me and said, what a great time of worship. Like, I was just sitting there. I just felt like God wanted to move by his Holy Spirit. What a refreshing word, a tongue. And then Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim used to be a former priest. What a great message of hope and salvation. That's when the Holy Spirit moves, it always brings good for other people. It's not just yourself. Amen. You can put your hands together for the Lord. When I came to this church 9 years ago, I had to do 9 funerals the first 9 weeks I got here. I was like, Lord, are you sure you called me? I love these people, but I need 9 new people just to bring it up to the equator. One of the people I buried was Dom Albanese. He worked with his hands. And when you prepare for a funeral, you meet with the family a couple days before. You kind of get to know them, their preferences, so you could deliver the message. You kind of get the, no, I didn't know the people. So I had to learn the people real quick. But tell me about a story about Dom who worked with his hands at a factory. And there was a machine that was broken. So that would be kind of knowledge. What's the problem? And by the way, for example, moms, if your kid comes up to you and is lying to you, the Spirit of the living God will tell you there's a problem. You might not know how to fix it yet. You're just discerning in your heart. Matter of fact, if you want to be involved in ministry in 2016, you probably need that one more than anything else, discernment. Your kid lies to you, say, no, Dad, I was there. Something just doesn't seem right. The wisdom will tell you how to handle it. Sometimes moms and dads, it's good not to scream at them. Just say, I'm going to let this thing play out. If you'll just listen to the Lord's voice in your life, that's why if you're a businessman, you need the Spirit of the living God. If you work in the public school system, you need the Spirit of the living God. If you're raising kids, you need the Spirit of the living God. This is not church talk. The spirit of the gifts are not actually designed only for the church. They're designed to go with you for the common good. If you help your kids, if your kids get over on you, you're not helping them. But if God comes upon you to work through the truth and you discipline them properly, that means you love them and it helps the rest of their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's for the common good. So Dom Albanese, there was a machine that stopped all production for like the plant. And they tried everything, all the best minds were on it. And he said he just walked around the machine. And he prayed to God, Lord, show me what needs to get done. It wasn't the manual or anything. This is a supernatural gift that God gives you beyond your own ability. And he prayed and he said, God, would you show me? This would be wisdom, like how to do it. Lord, teach me. Show me how to make the machine better. And he felt like God dropped into his heart how to fix the machine. It wasn't the manual, just through his own experience and through. And so he began to work on the machine and it fired right back up. Production started. It made the company more efficient and more effective, more money. I'm sure the managers were appreciated. Everything gets better when the Holy Spirit moves and the gifts are prevalent in our life. When you squash the Holy Spirit's move, it loses out on the goodness of God amongst us. When you leave here today, all of you should say, there's a great God in heaven. There's a great God in heaven. You know what some preachers do? They don't mean to do it, but you actually steal the glory of God. Let's just say I had something on that was very distinct. Let's say someone gave me a Rolex watch, $150,000 one, like a big bling, right? Even if someone gave it to me, and it's like this, and it's in your eye, you know, like all this stuff, what's the thing that you're going to talk about when you get in the car? Hey, did you see Pastor John's Rolex watch for $150,000 that kept getting in my eye? It took away from the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit makes us better than we are. The Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and makes it alive. If you're just thinking about God and Jesus and what he did for you, listen, that is so good. We need to concentrate on that. But the Holy Spirit makes Jesus come alive and real. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart for the greater good of the people. Amen. To God be the glory for him. You need the working of the Holy Spirit. And then number three, God gives his gifts to each person as he determines. Look what it says in verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes to each of them just as he determines. God is the giver of gifts, and he gives his gifts at certain times, at certain places, to accomplish his kingdom's work, his purposes. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 19? It was Paul who was doing these wonderful miracles. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, take my handkerchief and go put my handkerchief. And he took the handkerchief and he healed a bunch of other people, right? It was for a set time, a set purpose. You know what we do today? We get a TV program. We get some water from Jerusalem. And then we say, hey, if you give me $20 for this cloth, then you can go give it to grandma and she's going to get healed. And guess what? It doesn't work. It was for that set time. Could it work? I'm sure it could work. But to say that it's going to happen just like that, God usually doesn't do things just to copycat, because now you're just building your own ministry. Miracles are always to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. They're always to help people further the gospel message. And so let's just take the word wisdom up there. Let's go back to those three. I'm going to walk you through how this works. Wisdom. There is what is called I would call this a natural wisdom. I was up in Newark for 13 years, and my wife and I had three cars stolen. Has anyone from North Jersey, do you know what I'm talking about? And we had what was on our steering wheel called the club. Does anyone know what that is? If you don't know a club, that means you're not from North Jersey. But when you have three cars stolen, you put the club on. True story. When I came down to South Jersey, I started church here. We were driving a Suburban, and I put the club on down here, Marlton. And a nice lady from our congregation went out to the parking lot and put a post-it note on, you won't need the club down here. There's just the kind of a street smart that you get when you're in Newark. If someone's stealing your car, you got to do what you do. If not, you're not going to have a car. There's just kind of like a wisdom, like a natural wisdom that you kind of just need. You know, that's how you are up in North Jersey. You know, you're born with the baby, you know, baby gave you a social security number and they put a club right next to you, right there next to you in the baby thing, right there. That's what it is. That's kind of like a natural wisdom, if you will. There's like what was called a general wisdom. Listen, if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll get more wise. It'll teach you disciplines in your life. Matter of fact, if you read one, there's 30 chapters of the book of Proverbs. If you read one chapter a day, it'll make you wise. It'll help you. There's some things, men, some of you men can come up here and say, you know what? I could teach this congregation about finances, how to tithe, how to save, how to invest, 401k, put college away for your money away for your kids. There's a certain thing called debt or good debt, how to invest in the stock market or who to stay away from. There's this idea that you can actually learn how to do finances. You can learn how to take things to another level. But what I'm talking to you up there is a supernatural wisdom that God gives you that you can't have on your own. The Holy Spirit comes on you for that moment to give you wisdom to help you. And if you live a stressful life, if you have real challenges, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. This happened to Jesus, who had all the gifts of the Spirit working in his life at the well. This is what John chapter 4 said. When a Samaritan woman came to drink water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Remember, Samaritans were half-breeds. They didn't like each other's nationality. Americans had that too. Even if you're Spanish-speaking, you're from the Dominican, and I'm not, we don't like each other. You understand what I'm saying, right? We have these things all the time. You're black, but you're from Africa, you're not really black. You're white, but you're different, you're not. We have all this, they had that in their day too. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who was it that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Now Jesus, under the Holy Spirit, with wisdom, he said, "Go call your husband and come back." She said, "I have no husband." She replied, Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man now you have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." How did Jesus know that? How did he know that? He's just talking to a woman. The Spirit of the living God will tell you what's going on. Not being weird, he said, "Listen, you actually have five husbands. You're going through different ones, or you're sleeping with them, or you're living with them. The guy you're living with now, you're not even married to him. I'm telling you, I can change your life, and I know everything about you. I'll give wisdom to that situation. I'm going to tell you, businessmen, you're going to be sitting in business meetings, and the Spirit of the living God is going to quicken your heart about something. And if you'll handle that right, that whole meeting can change based on the wisdom you get. Moms, as you're raising those kids, you need the Spirit of the living God. You need to say, God, we need your direction, and he will help you. For that moment, he will guide you. You remember King Solomon, the wisest man in the Old Testament, the issue about the baby? I mean, this is before baby mamas. There was a fight between two babies, the moms. One mom, that baby really was hers. The other one really wasn't. Solomon had this, "Bring that baby to me, I'll cut it right in half." A lot of wisdom right there. The baby who the real mom said, "You can have the baby to keep the baby alive." Right then, Solomon knew that that baby belonged to that mother. God will show you what you need to do and how to do it and accomplish it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is dead in your life or it's not working by the Holy Spirit, you're not working the church or whatever, you just are just talking about God. You're just talking about Christ. It's not living and breathing inside of you. And God wants to bring you success. Remember last week, Ananias and Sapphira? You have not lied to men, but to God. God quicken you. And God will help you. Everyone in this room. You say, well, where do we go from here? What do we do right now? Number one, the Holy Spirit gifts are for today. Someone asked a question about the assemblies of God. We just simply believe that God wants to move by his Spirit today. Number two, the Holy Spirit gifts are for every believer. You might be some people in this room that says, you know what, Pastor, it sounds good for you because you're the preacher. The gifts should be on you. And you might say, what about me? That's a lie from the pit of hell. The gifts are for everybody. For everybody. I don't know if you know, but Anthony Giordano, I did his funeral last year. And Pastor Tim, I don't know if you remember, Pastor Tim said that Anthony Giordano said that he had all the nine gifts working in his life at one time. Challenged me. I said, Lord, am I being led by you? Is your Spirit moving in my life? And do I function and flow not by the flesh, but by the Spirit? I want to tell everybody, the young people, I want to tell you something. The gifts are for you. Those gifts should be happening on Friday night. If they don't, we should come back to the prayer clause and say, Lord, why aren't they? So, man, you're called by God. You need to flow in the gifts that God gives you for that occasion. Those are for you, and they're for today. You say, well, that's the young people because they're future. What about me? I'm older. I'm 50, 60, 70. Is God done with me? Is he done speaking to me? Is he going to help me and guide me? I'm going to tell you, everybody who's older, that the gifts are not just for young people. The gifts are for older people too. All the spiritual gifts are alive and well and for us today. The spirit-filled living, you can say, God can actually really move in my life for powerful living? The answer is absolutely yes. For whatever reason, people have put the Holy Spirit way over here in the box. The church is dying. The church has no credibility. It has no power. It has no influence. The politicians have no influence. They don't. I'm telling you, what will change the whole thing is the Spirit of the living God moving in our lives and the gifts flowing in amongst us for his glory and for his honor. He's a good God. He's faithful. And finally, you say, how can I be used by gifts? Be available for him. You know, I used to know a lot more about the Holy Spirit, but I found this to be true. I don't know nearly about what God, how he does. All I know is he wants to do more in our lives if we're available. You say, how do I get filled with the Spirit? How do I be open to the Holy Spirit? I think what you just do, you just lift up your arms and say, God, I don't understand everything that Pastor John's talking about. I have to go back and read it, but I want you to use me. You know what's really scary, moms and dads? We're losing our kids. Even if you're okay, you got like a kind of a vision to retire. But your kids, if they don't experience the power and the presence of God, like in the Bible, you're going to lose a whole generation. So moms and dads, we can pray like this. Lord God, let your gifts just flow in my kids' lives. Even if you don't have grandkids, say, Lord God, would you let the gifts flow? Let them be dependent on you. Lord, speak to them. Give them wisdom. Give them knowledge. Give them discernment. Let them experience tongues and interpretation. Lord, let them have great faith. Let them have great miracles. Lord, let them have great power in their life. Some people, they don't. You're so worried about other things. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. And if we'll just be open like this to God, he will come and flood us, and the gifts will be prevalent for his glory and for his honor. Amen? I was sitting talking to a lady last week on Friday night. Just talking. She's pouring her heart out. She's suffering with different things in her mind. I feel like the Lord just said something right to my heart. And I just looked at her, my wife. I'm tapping my wife. You know, if you don't know, you just start tapping people under the table. I said, have you ever been filled with the Holy Spirit? She's like, no, I want to be. I said, listen, the Lord has a wonderful gift. He wants to fill you. All of these things, there's relief, there's help, there's, I'm telling you, God wants to overwhelm the situation and give his grace to you. Everyone in the room, God can use you in the power and the gifts. They're for today and they're to be for our lives. And if you listen to him, you just yield yourself. Say, Lord, use me. You will see the supernatural power of God working in your life. Would you stand with me?